I haven't. There's a whole description of it. I
saw the description. I saw the picture, yeah, but I didn't know.
I was gonna. So it's this band that they did the theme music for my first podcast, and I was like, well, how do I support it? Because it's like license free. So I went online and I bought like all of their MP3s mm-hmm. that I could and stuff, and it's really good. I like it. It's like this loungy, you know, where you've heard it, like it's sort of loungy, weird, like yeah. music. And I thought, oh, I actually really like this fucking band, so I'll listen to them. And then as soon as we needed one for this, I'm like, I know where to go for this because it's royalty free and everything. Anyway, what was my point?
Oh, you put one up there. I thought you just did this, and so I didn't scroll down. Like,
I read the description.
I've never seen this. What is this? What is this?
I read the description first and I was like, oh, it's like sometimes reggae roots. All right, this sounds interesting.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And so when I tuned in and it started, I was like, I can get into this. And then it was Bill talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good song. if you look them up on like SoundCloud or whatever. But here's the thing. I thought it would be funny to make the description of the band and the soundtrack like longer than the description of the actual podcast. So I was trying to find as much text as I could, but then I gave up on it in the end.
The way that I took it was the description was longer than the clip that you played. Yeah. You know, like it took longer to read the description of the 3-second clip.
But
that was the music right there?
Yeah.
Well, you don't play the whole goddamn song, do you?
It was too quick. It's not even like 2.5 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't play the whole...
And you don't, and you also don't play 5 seconds of it.
Yeah, and there's more at the end. Okay. If you go all the way to the end.
It's the other 2 seconds.
Well, I can't listen to this.
I listened to the whole thing.
Is it? Can people see this? No.
Do you read any of the fucking text, Jay?
I do.
Yeah.
It's live to the world.
I'm up to, I think... 7 loves and about 8 likes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. That's a lot of traction in social media, so I hear, to have 15 7? People react to it.
Who are the people?
Just friends who I knew would like it anyway.
Where? What platform is this on?
Oh, we're technical now, aren't we? It's on Castos, which is like we pay to have a shitload on there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and then you tick all these buttons. I still have more stuff to do to get it distributed because there's like, you tick like, yeah, I want it on Apple. Yeah, I want it on this. And then it just spritz, jizzes it out into the universe for you. But there's Castos is the main place. And then you have to sign up for a few of the other, you know, there's like a whole bunch of sites.
So at some point it will be on Apple and whatever else.
It is on Apple.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then your students will start finding it, and then you'll lose your job, and that'll be excellent.
No, that's why we're keeping it just first names, right?
Until 10,000 subscribers, and then we'll release last names.
Okay.
Except you say both of our last names in your first sentence.
But we bleeped them out.
No, we didn't.
No, let's bleep them out. You got me nervous. I'm a wreck.
You wanted to publish and be damned, as
no,
they
I didn't
say.
Say anything.
Publish
be damned.
And
no, no,
be
no,
damned.
No. Have we said anything really bad on here? I hope not. I don't think yet.
No.
Nothing that can get me canceled.
You've
right?
accused me of like racism 2 or 3 times. Or you've tried to sucker me in.
Yes. Well, you've tried to sucker me in with some sexual talk that you think I'm inclined towards, and I'm not. Where that comes from, it's all above board here. No, I am literally a wreck. I'm shaking from car trouble that I had on the way here. Now, whenever anyone, like my students, for example, they'll say, my car broke down. I don't believe them. And as my car is breaking down on the way here and I'm texting you, I'm like, these guys won't believe me. Did you not believe me? You didn't believe me, I bet.
I believed you, but I didn't care.
Yeah, I could tell you didn't care from the response when you said, cry me a river.
Cars break down all the time. I've spent half of my life standing at the side of a road cursing a car out.
Really? Do they? I feel like they don't. I feel like just mine, because it's old. But I think most people's cars don't break down. You have old,
yeah, I have
shitty
old
cars.
Knackers, but I stay on top of it.
Yeah, but
because I'm a proper man, I'm able to stay on top of car maintenance.
That is the sign.
Not
of a proper.
That, not man. That only men can do car maintenance.
No. Not saying that. I was having car trouble yesterday with another of my cars. The oil pressure light keeps coming on, and my mechanics tell me don't worry about it. It's intermittent. And I'm like, okay, but it keeps coming on. And I looked it up, and there was somebody else had asked about this problem, a woman. It said her husband, you know, doesn't do anything for the car, doesn't take it for an oil change or anything.
I think there's a subtext to her saying that. My husband doesn't change the oil. He's not proactive. She's talking about another thing, but carry on.
Okay. Maybe she was up on blocks. If that's what you're trying to get at.
There's a classic from the 90s.
Up on blocks. People don't really get that reference anymore. Anyway, she, you know, the guys, the mechanic guys that were answering the questions in the chat were really going after her husband for not, you know, taking proper care of the car.
It's funny, you know,
not
I like
a man.
They always say like, you know, teenage girls are the worst, right? They're really brutal to each other and all that. If you ever want a good laugh, go to like YouTube and look at like the like a DIY clip or an engine clip. And it's just a full-on brawl of like middle-aged men, like, you don't do it like that. And you're like, Jesus Christ. You're just talking about a carburetor on a Hyundai, dude. You know, don't.
Yeah, they get very passionate.
Chill out.
I can't believe the thoughtful, long responses people give in chats like this. Like somebody, my car's having this, and some guy will write three pages in response to this stranger, right? Who has the time for that?
It's because his penis is broken and he's just letting it out that way.
That's how he satisfies.
Yep.
That urge or
that
inadequacy. Anyway, I had car trouble on the way here. It's died in front of a hydrant. It's poking out in front of that hydrant. But after the show, you're going to go and take a look at it with me. Yeah,
WD-40 and you'll be on your way.
Okay, so I'm going to try and gather myself. You might have to carry the show today. The show being... Isn't that special? How do we say it? Isn't that special?
I don't know if it...
Isn't that special?
I didn't know whether to put a question mark or an exclamation, and then I didn't put anything, but I realized I'd screwed up the graphic in Canva by putting an exclamation. So you're kind of duty-bound to go, isn't that special at this point?
Well, I think it's a question, not an exclamation point.
But the first podcast I did, I left it open-ended. Because what was it called? You think that's funny. And that can be a question or it can be a statement. And I was like, oh, that's a cool thing to do.
Well, if you've been listening to this program for a long time, as I know many, many are, many have been.
Since Tuesday.
Yes. You know that we've had many names for this program, right? Let's go through some of them. The latest is Isn't That Special. I don't know if that will stick. Then we had... funny you should know. No, it wasn't funny.
Carvey's lawyers find out, and then we're done.
Do you think he's got a
team?
He's got a trademark on that? On that phrase? You can trademark phrases.
Do you think he would, or would it be
Lauren?
SNL?
SNL might have it.
Yeah.
Because someone wrote that for SNL, and they would have signed a contract that says all intellectual property of Lorne Michaels, Broadway video, whatever the hell it is.
Yes, yeah.
So
you can't even, you can't say, isn't that special? Without running afoul of that copyright.
We're going to find out.
I mean, it's legal, isn't it? They may have copyrighted "well isn't that special," which is the full
well
catchphrase.
Isn't that right.
And that's why I dropped the "well." Well, and it's clunky as well.
Yeah, we don't need that. Yeah. Okay, so we're isn't that special, special delivery. there was don't make me laugh. That was
no, that's mine. No one's using that unless I say.
What? You own that? Don't make me laugh?
I own the URL. I don't own the thing because that would be...
Well, why don't we use that for the name? All right, anyway. I guess I'm not following the chat very closely.
Well, yeah.
Well, I know there's something out there, but if there's something out there and you have something, what difference does it make?
That's a really good point. That's something that, man, we should have thought of that a week ago.
Okay.
And discussed it in the group chat.
Yeah.
I'm not good at texting. Right? Neither are you, so I don't know.
No, I'm not. But I'm following this.
Okay. I was on vacation in Florida all week.
Is that where
you got some sun?
Yeah, Christian. I did. Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, no, I was at the lake skating around on Friday.
Yeah. Skating around?
Skating around, yeah.
Skating around on a roller skates?
Roller skates, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Roller skates.
I was, yeah.
He's a roller skater.
Skates or blades?
Yeah.
Roller blades?
They're roller blades, but they're hockey skates.
Okay.
So yeah, I call them skates.
The layers on you just keep...
Yeah. Like an onion.
Yeah, you are. I mean, this is an interesting guy and very funny. He should be sitting here. Well, he is, but yeah. You know.
All right. Well, yeah. When I walk out eventually.
Yeah. If you ever go on vacation, you're coming over here.
Waiting for my moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're coming over here. All right. Let's get to today's special. Christian, why don't you tell us the idea you had here? And I love it. And I love the fact that we're bringing back old specials. We've been reviewing mostly new specials or newer specials. But why aren't we going back to some of the greats?
Yeah, the idea was take Dave Chappelle's special from the year 2000, Killing Them Softly, and compare that to his latest special from 2023 on Netflix. What is it called? The Dreamer?
The Dreamer.
The Dreamer. And, I mean, Killing Them Softly was a special... I mean, in the year 2000, what was I? I was in high school, sophomore in high school at the time, and that was one that was regarded as just the best at that time. And I was curious to see how the progression, the evolution of Dave Chappelle since then he had done the Chappelle Show. He had his whole expedition out of the public eye for a long time and then back into it, and how his comedy could evolve, and especially hand in hand with how society has evolved since then, and to compare the two.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Today, just for the we're just doing part one just now, one. So we can't really talk about The Dreamer today. But I think we can say that The Dreamer was filmed in the same exact theater as
Oh, really?
Killing Them Softly. Yeah, so he returns to the... appropriate that
yeah I didn't know that
we do both now you said 2000 what I didn't get the actual date on this was this 2000 or 2001
2000 is what I looked up yeah
okay because I was waiting for a 9/11 reference and this is pre 9/11
yeah
this is right before 9/11 all right well let's cards on the table I love Dave Chappelle I've always loved his comedy I think he's one of the greatest, and this might be, and I thought of this as I'm watching it, we've got to come up with, since we're doing all these reviews, what are the best specials of all time?
Well, you're not going to know any of the ones. Well, the specials didn't, when the specials get invented?
Mid-80s, I would say, probably. Comedy specials, it probably goes back before that, but they didn't really consider them.
The first special that I'm aware of would be like... America-wise, would be like Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer, which would be what?
What about the HBO half-hour comedy hour specials? Yeah, those are half-hour.
I haven't got that sort of money.
That predates that. What do you mean? This Killing Them Softly was on HBO. Did you have to rip a bootleg or something?
I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, it was on YouTube. Yeah. Find your way behind that paywall. Okay. Well, anyway, that's something I think this would have to be in the conversation of top 10 stand-up specials ever.
I'm not qualified to comment.
All right, we'll get there. All right, so here we are in D.C., Washington, D.C. He says he's from D.C., right? But I know him from Ohio because I know he lives in Ohio. Is this where he grew up in D.C.? Yeah,
do you know? I don't know. I thought he was from the Baltimore area.
No, I Wikipedia'd it because I wasn't quite sure. His parents are kind of upper middle class. I think one's a professor and one was something else. So, but yeah, because I started getting confused when he kept talking about DC and all this. One of the Chris Rock seminal ones is DC.
Yeah,
and he keeps talking DC and all this, and I was like, hang on, am I confusing? Did I listen to Chappelle?
You're confusing two black comedians.
No, it was the whole DC thing. Because they opened incredibly similarly about talking about how rough DC was. And I think Chris Rock immediately goes into Marion Barry, who was the mayor that got caught smoking yeah. crack. And Chappelle also references that.
Never
as
says
well.
His name, but yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ, did I see a, you know, have I got confused here between two specials?
So they're probably up out at about the same time, but, yeah?
Yeah, there must have been. And then Chris Rock, he's not from DC, though, is he?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. But where is Dave Chappelle in 2000 career wise? I mean, was this a big special at the time? Did it become big after the fact? Was this the special that made him big?
He was on the radar because of Half Baked already, I think,
at
that point.
Half-baked.
I mean, the crowd were going mental right, yeah. when he walked on. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was like, wow, they're raving like he's a rock star already.
Yeah.
So he must have been big.
Yeah, so big enough, right, at this point. But he hadn't done Chappelle's Show. That nope. hadn't come out. He'd done Half Baked, maybe a couple of. You know what movie he's in that's crazy?
I think it was
out.
I know what you're going to say. Say it.
You've Got Mail. Or Sleepless in Seattle. One of those two.
No.
It is one of those two. He's in that. He plays Tom Hanks's buddy from The Office. What? It's crazy. Yeah, it was.
Oh, I was thinking the Robin Hood one.
Well, I just watched that last week again.
He's in that.
Terrible, yeah. That was really like where I think Hollywood said, all right, no more money for Mel Brooks. He's done.
Oh, he did that? Men in Tights? That's Mel Brooks.
Oh, it's
joint?
Very Mel Brooks. Yeah, the whole thing is.
But I think of that as a Mel Brooks.
I think that was his. Oh. That was his. Okay, this guy is too old and done now.
Did he do anything after that? I mean, he did.
He did something really, really fucking bad called Life Stinks after it, and then that was it. No more movies for Mel.
Who was in Life Stinks?
He might have been actually. But I was I'm a massive Mel Brooks fan, not from at the time, but working back through the catalog. But yeah, God, Men in Tights was so goddamn.
So
bad.
He's in that. He was in, I think, Screwed was a movie that might have been out. Half Baked was probably got him popular.
The first time I saw Chappelle, because obviously I'm not from these here parts, was Reggie Warrington in fucking The Nutty Professor. Just mind-blowingly fun. Because I thought, oh, that's Eddie Murphy's way of saying to the young black comedians, you really are a bunch of hack, like, idiot. Like, didn't you think that? I thought that was Eddie's commentary on, like, okay, there was me and then this Def Jam generation, and they all suck.
I didn't see that. I thought of it more as, you know, he's throwing a bone to Chappelle. That had been out. Right by this time, Nutty Professor, I would think. I'm just trying to get a sense of what he.
It had to have been
what he's done up until this point.
Yeah, Reggie Warrington. I was so pissing myself off.
They
should have just done a whole thing, just like a spinoff.
Comedy. Yeah. Was that what Def Jam was? Really? Was that more? I guess.
I mean, he had stupid hat on and all, like, just no material, just like, ooh, look at this big old plate of curly fries.
I'm sure Chappelle was on Def Jam, right? I don't remember it, but I'm sure he probably was. It's right around that time, right?
But Chappelle
was petering out at that point.
Chappelle's sharp enough to know what a hack comedian is and go after it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so he comes out and, you know, they're going crazy for him.
Went mental.
Yeah. And the first thing that I noticed is his voice, right? Because you're used to hearing him now, and you hear him 25 years ago, and it's, I don't want to say, you know.
It's grating is what it is.
You find his voice grating?
Yeah, in this, not and now.
Not now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different voice, right? It's and it made me think about comedians whose voices change over their careers, right? They become... I don't know. It's a different kind of, you know, when you're a young comedian, you don't know who you
shout
are.
It, yeah.
You're shouting, you're affecting the voice more, you know, like, before you settle into who you are or what your voice is.
I'll tell you one interesting thing about the opening. I never knew Washington had a train system. And, like, it starts doing this thing on the credits. And I'm like, oh, Washington's got a
I didn't stick
mass
around for
transit.
The credits. Yeah.
Opening credits.
Oh, the opening credits.
Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm yeah. already learning.
Yeah, you're learning right away. He doesn't do anything on the train system, but he does talk a lot about DC. How he starts off talking about how it changed, right? And how.
Yeah, which kind of weirded me out. Like I say, I'm not from America. I would have thought Washington, D.C. was an incredibly white place from the get-go. Because government is controlled by white people in America, and D.C. is just a place the government is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that is, but no, it's not. It's quite the opposite. And I don't have a good feel for D.C., but
you would think all of the wealthy politicians and lobbyists and all those people around there would be like, well, we're going to keep this place.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. You would think.
Yeah, that surprised me. Never been there.
You've never been? No. Well, he starts talking about how it's, and it's hard to watch an old special, right? Because you have to remember what. And I think this is kind of the point of doing this, right? Or one of the points. You have to remember what it was like 25 years ago, right? Mm. Not just in D.C., but in the world, right? And he starts this whole block off and goes, I'm thinking this is going to be all. I'm getting the light. That was another name for the show. Give him the light.
Getting the light.
Getting
Jesus
the light.
Christ, some open mic bullshit.
No, I thought it was going to be, this is going to be a special entirely about white people versus black people, you know? And it kind of was, but he goes left and right after a while. But I thought the jokes were great, right? You know, I'm usually, when I start to hear the white people get this treatment, black people get this, it's like 25 years of that since then is like, totally, I've had enough. I don't want to hear it. You still do hear it from comedians. But.
And I wonder if this was the defining thing that created that hack trope. Like, if everyone saw this and was like, oh, this is gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to think of it predated this with Pryor. Richard Pryor did some of that, right?
I never watched any Richard Pryor, so I can't comment. But
put that on the list. We'll do his oldest special, and then we'll do his newest special. What would that be? Live from the grave.
Right? Yeah.
I know that's a good, so that, like, you have to get in the context of, like, has this been, is this old material, or is he the first one to really,
was he the first?
I don't know.
I wasn't here, so I can't tell you.
I don't know. It's hard to know.
It turned me off at the start. I'm like, oh my God, is this what this whole thing is going to be? But then he's one of them people where he's good enough at it to just negate the jadedness you feel, I think.
Yeah.
But part of me was also like, you are such a good comedian, you don't need to do this.
Yeah, but he's I don't know how old he is now. He's going to be in his 50s, but he's
51 now. He's 51. So he would have been 26 at the time. So still
He's a
burgeoning.
Young guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's hard to watch these specials in reverse or in retrospect, right? And then judge the material from then when you can't really remember. But what was the joke that got you first? The first joke that you really liked?
The first joke I really liked. Well, he did a really brilliant bit about, white thugs hanging out with black thugs. And
yeah,
I thought
that was great. That was right off the bat.
Yeah, great observations. And then he started doing the white this, what black that. And I just was starting to go fade at that point. And then he did the whole thing with the gangster voice. Because I don't normally talk like this weird voice. And then he does that bit about like sounding like a 1940s gangster. Yeah, see? That got me because I was like, that's great.
It's so interesting because I'm watching this with subtitles on. Everybody watches with closed captioning now. I don't know if you know this, but today's youth, everything they watch, they'll have the sound on. They'll hear it, but they want
it's
the
so
captioning
annoying.
Up. I don't know why or how that, I don't know.
Because you want to know what they're going to say ahead of time. I don't know why. Ruin the surprise.
It does, right? So if you have the captioning on, you see the words before you hear the words. Right?
It's not because of Instagram.
I was just thinking that.
I think it is.
It's because of clips.
Why.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm watching it, and up comes on the screen Jimmy Cagney voice. Now, he never says Jimmy Cagney, right? But who the fuck is doing these captions, right? That would insert that in there. How are these, you know, right? Who's writing the Chiron for this to put Jimmy Cagney voice up there?
Actually, it might have been. It could have been two comedians I knew that moved to LA, and that was their gig to
transcribe these things.
Yeah, I knew people in LA who were working
doing this kind of thing,
doing captioning. Yeah,
for really? Okay,
I'm not sure what they were doing it for.
See, I always think of it when I think of captioning. I think of it as it's just a phonetic computer thing that
it
takes what's
now.
Said and like so you get mistakes and stuff like that. And it,
now it is, but humans used to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't
so
know.
Someone obviously went, oh, he's talking about James Cagney.
Jimmy, you're right. Who can? But that's taking some liberties, right? With the anyway.
Yeah, that's assuming that everybody knows who James Cagney is.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. That was pretty funny. Yeah, and that comes back. I think he's really good. You know, he's not breaking the mold, right? We've reviewed different specials where comedians are doing something different. Everything he's really kind of traditional, right? In terms of his, I think his material's original,
yeah,
right, and great for the most part. But it's, you know, he's kind of from that '80s school of comedy, right? The Jerry Seinfeld school. He's not like Jerry Seinfeld, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
I've
where he's doing callbacks and he's
callbacks,
everything's connected.
And he's doing a clear pacing of like, I can't go too long without a punchline.
Right.
I can't just ramble.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, it's like the kind of music you listen to. As someone who loves comedy, that's the kind of comedy I love. That's the familiar blanket that I want. I want that kind of, so when you watch somebody like Maria Bamford or something like that, it's like, where the fuck, I need these jokes, right? Give it to me like I like it, you know? Jeez, that seems weird, right? But I'm the same way in my sex life, right? I like it very traditional.
Oh, yeah. Says the man who doesn't want to talk about it.
No,
anyway.
I won't talk about it. But the first one that got me was, how he said, like, white people don't know the law, right? Like, they're not, I didn't know I couldn't do that. Right, but black people do know the law.
Yeah.
And blacks are like paralegal. They're all like paralegals.
That was great. That was original. Great. It was brilliant observation.
Brilliant.
And something new to the black versus white
thing. Yeah. All right. The signature bit that came out of this special, it's talked about all the time, right? It's the one bit. Do you know, what do you think it is? The bit that is this special is best known for, I would say. Or at least to me, anyway.
Is it the baby?
Yeah. It's the baby.
Yeah, it's the thread.
On the corner in the ghetto, right?
And that annoyed me a little bit. I mean, I get what he's doing, but it's clearly not true. And he's flipping. You got to either go total bollocks or totally true. I'm not mentally equipped to just let you flip between the two.
Yeah. So you know that, well, obviously a baby's not standing on the corner talking and selling drugs, right? So you can't, he loses you there.
Well, initially when he said there was a baby on the corner, I was like, well, he's among the working class. So it could be that there is a parent who is so bad, their kid has just wandered.
Well, that is true.
And that's
right?
And that's where I thought that was going, was like, holy shit. And then he just starts spinning the whole, the baby selling weed thing. And I was just like, ah.
Mm. Okay. I thought it was great. I thought, and he kind of winks. It doesn't wink, but like he lets you know. Obviously, the bit's not true. But he's in the limousine. He rolls the window down, and he catches like it's an old limousine.
Yeah, that was a good comedy 101 line.
So good. The other thing I think with Chappelle is that he didn't invent the white voice, the black guy doing a white voice, but there's nobody better on earth that does a white voice. I'm not saying it's most accurate, but it is the funniest shit when he talks in white voice, right? You don't like it?
No, and it's kind of funny because a mutual comedian who was around when we were both coming up talked about the hackiness of the black comedian doing the white voice as like the, I'm Sheldon. The
is it Dwayne?
No. I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
I don't know. And that really stuck with me, that this person saying that. I was like, yeah, it is. Like, white people don't talk like they're fucking professors, you know. Like, it's different. Everyone talks different, for Christ's sake.
But you're seeing it through how a black person hears white people talking, right? And
yeah.
He's not the first to do it. Probably it was Eddie Murphy who on Saturday Night Live did it when he did whiteface and went on the bus and, like, talked like the...
Oh, yeah, I know it's a device that every comedian needs. It's like, if you go to any goddamn comedy show now, every comedian has an English voice that they're doing.
Oh, yeah?
Holy shit, yeah, it's like an epidemic.
Why? Why is that even
relevant?
I don't
know. I asked a comedian, I'm like, why is everyone doing this now? Everyone has this, like, shitty English accent that they're trying to push. And she said, oh, it's because of the proliferation of, you know, Bridgerton and this and that and the other, and now everyone has exposure to it.
And then if you're in a room with people and one person does it, the rest of them, it's like bullfrogs on a pond, you know, like one and the rest of them all join in.
I didn't know. Maybe it was, you know who started that? Crotius with his Wallingford. Remember Wallingford?
Yeah.
He did a great one.
Yeah.
Hello. And then he do his Shakespeare in Love bit.
Oh, I'll tell you an interesting.
He's booked right this weekend. You can see Adam Crotius at the Chateau in Los Angeles, California. 8 p.m. tickets still available.
I'll give you a funny. So I don't mind people doing an English accent. I get it. It's like just a comedic device. But the only people that ever fooled me was Spinal Tap. Someone sat me down one time and said they're all American. And I said, no fucking way.
Really?
Are those people American?
They nailed it?
Yeah. And the guy looks at me and he goes, don't you recognize one of them as Lenny and Squiggy? Like, and then I started thinking about his, you know, Michael McKean's face. And I was like, oh, yeah, he was Lenny and Squiggy.
Well, he was Lenny.
Yeah, yeah. And then that was the only way I would believe, because this is pre, you know, internet, people walking around with smartphones. And he's like, yeah, all of the Spinal Tap guys are American. And I'm like, no fucking way. Because
they must have really put in the work with the dialect coach.
They
and
must
everything,
have,
to really get it. Whereas most people, you can just spit it out.
They all sound like Dick Van Dyke. Holy shit.
Dick Van Dyke's not British.
No, he's American. Mary Poppins. God bless you, Poppins. Yeah, that's the archetypal worst one ever.
Until, still alive, Dick Van Dyke, I believe.
Until Don Cheadle came along in Ocean's whatever it was, and that was so fucking
bad. He plays British in that? I don't remember that.
Oh, my God.
Don Cheadle. all right. Now, we've talked a lot on the show about physical comedy and your hatred for physical comedy, right? Fair.
Yeah.
You hate
physical
comedy.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of it he doesn't do a lot of it, Chappelle, in this, but he does it a little bit, and it's very subtle. And I keep thinking about you during watching this and wondering if you liked it. A couple times where he just hits the like when he pretends like a policeman hitting a black person, like it just hits the mic stand with the microphone. Right? Then when he pretends to be eating the fried chicken, he turns it sideways and like a drumstick. I mean, amazing. Then later on when he does fellatio.
I actually didn't watch it.
Listened?
I had it on. I was talking about this with Christian before you came in. So I put it in the background because I was given 17 minutes notice to watch this goddamn thing.
Go to the chat and look at the chat when we decided on this a week ago.
I put it on YouTube and then I was doing other stuff, but I had to keep pausing it because I could. Here's an interesting thing about how great I am with comedy. I knew when he was doing physical stuff, I could literally sense it from how the crowd reacted. And I had to stop what I was doing, pop the window forward, dial it back 30 seconds and watch it.
Because you wanted to see it?
How
he got the big laugh?
Because I could tell when he was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but he does it sparingly, right? And
it's not
big over the top.
Yeah.
And he uses that mic
Yeah.
beautifully. And we don't talk a lot about this on the show, but just the way a comedian handles a mic. I mean, I'm sure we all have preferences. I don't mean it in a sexual way.
No,
I know that's where you're
I think someone's prompted you to say this because you know it's my pet hatred.
What, how it's handled, the mic?
Yeah, so there's a thing now, right? It's called the Louis C.K. ice cream cone.
That's what people are doing now?
They're holding it incorrectly, and that breaks the XLR and makes the microphone erratic and cut out. Because a microphone is
the wire kind of thing?
Yeah, because if you imagine holding an ice cream cone.
I wouldn't hold it like that. Like, you're holding it from the bottom.
When I said when I said to someone, when did comedians not, you know, fail to learn how to actually hold a microphone, which is designed physically to be held in a certain way, right?
Yes.
And someone said, oh, it's Louis C.K.'s fault. He started holding it by the bottom like it was an ice cream cone.
Delicately.
And then everyone started doing it.
You wouldn't think a lot of people would be trying to emulate him these days, but...
Yeah. You should grip it like a shaft, which you would think Louis C.K., of all people, would be able to comprehend.
But he's just very traditional in the way he holds it and uses it. I think he does amazing with it. I always liked Norm MacDonald would leave it in the stand.
And
just kind of hold the stand.
Yeah. You know,
that's what I always liked. But.
Norm at the Vic, his microphone just kept shitting up and he just wouldn't change it.
When did you see him at the Vic?
I don't know. 10 years ago, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was awful because his mic was wrong for 90% of the show. And I'm like, how do you mess up a mic?
What do you mean it was wrong?
It was like cutting out. It wasn't loud enough. And I think
that's not his fault.
No. But I think eventually someone shouted at him, like, get a goddamn mic changed. And then I think they offered him a cordless. And he was like, being normal, no, I'm not using that. Like, get me a fucking cordless or something. And it just ruined like a huge chunk of the show that you couldn't hear him properly.
Yeah. That's interesting because that's where he filmed his first, I think, American special, the HBO. Was it the Vic when he came from Canada?
I'm surprised you haven't got that one on the itinerary.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. All right. So one of the things I noticed too with him with the mic and the way he's still doing a lot of the same things that he does now, the way he hits his taps his...
You'll have to ask Christian. I haven't seen him.
You haven't seen him? When's the last time you haven't seen him in anything recently?
Yeah, I saw him in his 2000 special at 11 o'clock this morning.
You've seen no stand-up of his?
None.
Good God. Been living under a comedy rock.
No, when Chappelle's show came out, it got massively hyped. So I watched a couple and I thought they were shit. And now I've just avoided him ever since. Mm.
Did you watch his show, the Chappelle show?
Yeah.
You did, yeah.
Christian can chime in with his evolution.
But he's still doing some of the same things, hitting his leg with the mic, you know, after a joke, like to emphasize the...
Well, that's just it. Actually, I don't really know much about his newer stuff, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Dreamer one. But I agree. I also didn't like Chappelle's show. I thought it didn't live up to the stand-up special that I had based my... what I liked about Dave Chappelle around, you know, which was Killing Them Softly. And then I thought, oh, Chappelle, okay, well, this is just... not for me.
It was so hyped. It was hard to live up to that hype, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm from a country that sketch comedy has a very high standard for. And didn't meet that standard.
And it was being quoted constantly. At that point, now I was in college, you know, so every college party you go to, all you heard was the Lil Jon quotes, you know, as Dave Chappelle. And it was just, like, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to fucking kill myself. You know, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Rick James, bitch, was the bane of the early century.
Okay, well, I'm not going to challenge you on the sketch comedy thing, but what other parts of this special? I can't even get the sense of whether you like this or not. We'll get to that at the end.
I'm keeping you on edge with that.
You are.
Yeah.
What about the Sesame Street stuff? That was pretty good.
Good stuff. I mean, there was so much good in this thing. You know, I just put it got very 90s at one point. There was Bill Clinton impressions flying around.
Yeah.
Monica Lewinsky stuff.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then the one thing that really shook me a little bit was like he tried to generate sympathy for Monica Lewinsky and the whole audience was like, fuck her. The women. He was like, even the women, and they just booed and stuff. And I was like, my God.
I can't really understand that. I couldn't understand that. Yeah. Do you think she would get sympathy now? She's a more sympathetic figure now that history is.
I mean.
Judge her differently.
Yeah, I mean, in
she
me.
She should be, I think.
Yeah, in Me Too, she was a victim of sexual assault, basically.
This was Me Too. She would have been, you know.
And it's year 2000. It was like, booing her.
Yeah, like she was the one in the wrong there.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
I know, yeah. That one was like, wow, this dates this at this point. Yeah. And then he did Elian Gonzalez, and I'm like, wow, I'm time warping. Yeah. I am fucking time warping.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about Bush, George Bush Jr. I guess he had just been elected. I don't in 2000, right?
I think. Yeah. He said it's election. No, he said it's election year, and he said I would vote for Clinton again if I could.
Yeah, he must have been.
This was Gore Bush.
It was opposed
right before that.
Yeah.
So he hadn't won yet.
Yeah, that was when he did Elian Gonzalez. I'm like. Now.
But if not for a couple of those, that you know, the political stuff, you could have, you know, you couldn't really date it.
But he did end on a like bit where I'm like, wow, this isn't gonna fly. I don't know. I couldn't. The men versus women chivalry is dead bit. He kind of, you think, okay, he's going down a hole here that he would be fucking buried in 25.
Yeah.
But then he winches himself out with like talking about how magazines undermine women and you are beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
magazines kind of date things too, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that bit was really on the edge of like, wow, he's, you know, he's going in the abyss, but he's winching himself out and he's
and that's
pushing him back himself in. And
but he's still doing that today. I mean, that's his, I don't know, wouldn't say that's his comedy, but he is taking whatever lightning rod issues are there, and that is what his act is going to be about. And he's going to go on the side he wants to, and he's going to alienate a lot of people.
But does he try to walk? Well, we'll get to
We'll get to that in the next one.
Does
he
try to walk the line still?
He walks
like,
it back. He'll he crosses the line, but then he'll walk it back, and then he'll insult you again, and then walk it back. So it's you can't. He wants you to not be able to stay mad at him, but he wants to say what he wants to say. Which
see, I kind of
fearless.
Love
he's a. I mean, by today's standards, he's a fearless comedian.
Yeah, I like people that do that. To you know, make you like them, and then you're like, shit, I like the wrong person. No, I wrong. Yeah. Who's it? Jason Fever used to talk about that's the secret of comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he say? It was like comedy should be something like. Oh, God, I wish I could remember the word. It was like banana, heroin overdose. Banana, heroin overdose. Like, that's the pace of comedy.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't help but think about during the special, it being 20-something years ago, is how you could be offensive, right, if you want to say it. You could really push the envelope, or push past the envelope, cross the line, and now you just don't see that. Other than with him, I think you'll see that with him. Most comedians, they stay on the other side of the line, and that's why I think comedy is... in a bad place.
I don't know about that. I get a lot of, you know, there's this raging debate in comedy right now of like, oh, comedy shouldn't have any barriers. And then they're like, well, it should. And then it shouldn't. And you know, I see like on my, I don't really go on social media anymore, but I do know that when I do go on it, I see a whole bunch of like older comedians saying you should be able to do, you know, your Seinfeld, John Cleese saying you should be able to say whatever the hell you want. It's comedy. It's a blank check. But I don't know. I'm still processing what I believe. I mean, I will say this, as someone who is has a sort of unofficial stewardship of a comedy venue, I try not to get dragged into it. I just want to say it's society's thing. You guys sort it out. Okay. But, you know, society...
But you're not going to book a comedian that you know is going to potentially be offensive. or I mean, you know is going to be offensive. You would, I think we've talked about this. You'd steer away from somebody who has been Me Too'd or, you know.
Well, yeah, you're talking about
publicly flogged for something they did.
Well, getting Me Too'd isn't the same as being offensive. Getting Me Too'd is you have sexually assaulted someone, right? Being offensive.
I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not advocating anything Me Too.
Yeah, so
I'm
you,
not on the side
so
of the
you're
Me Too-ers
saying
or
you're
whatever.
Saying that you're
I'm
saying
just trying to
Bill no second name is saying
no, I'm not. I'm not. No. I'm trying to get to understand you as the unofficial purveyor of a comedy venue who you would put up in this day and age. And it sounds like you have reservations, which is really not.
No,
fine.
No, I don't have reservations because I have no input whatsoever in who
that's
the booking is.
Yeah.
I'm here to provide the framework for which live comedy happens, right? I have long since surrendered any pretension to having any
comedy sensibilities.
Yeah, because quite frankly, I hate most of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you're going to say the... I don't get this with people who own comedy clubs or book comedy rooms. Like, I want it to be a reflection of what I think comedy should be. You fucking egotistical idiot.
Right.
No, what it is should be a reflection of what society says. This is good. This is healthy. This is what is for us. Now, there's going to be a lot of debate and reaction within it, but, you know, what I personally think of any given act shouldn't matter a toss.
Yeah. As someone running the room or...
Yeah. I'm just here to facilitate it happening.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case, right, when you look out there. I think most people, the rooms, of whoever the clubs, they are a reflection.
Yeah, it's the right? ego of people. It's like, this has to be what I... Because I know best. No, you
right.
don't.
Right. This is good comedy. This is bad
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah,
you should
yeah.
have it all.
Yeah. And yeah. you know, and I used to be that twat. Don't get me wrong. I used to be the guy, well, I was sat there with you in the backs of open mics in bars plotting this is how comedy should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz I'm 27 years old and I'm thick as shit and I don't know any better. Mm-hmm. But you know, you live, you learn, you evolve. And now if I would go back to me, I would say just shut up.
Take your hand off the till.
Yeah,
not the
just
till,
shut up and just do your thing. Let everyone else sort. You know, yeah. let it consensus.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bit of a rant, wasn't it?
Well,
let me
yeah.
calm down.
Well, I think, you know, since we're talking about the end and he ends on the men versus women thing, I thought this was his most brilliant
it was
segment.
Definitely winch it over the edge,
yes.
pull it back, winch it over the edge, pull it back.
The thing where he says the four things to make a man happy, right? Yeah. These magazines say there's 100 things. Not 100, it's four things.
A dude jumps up in the front row and
yeah,
high fives
like, ah! it. Yeah, he's like, four things. Suck his dick, play with his balls, make him a sandwich, and don't talk too much.
right? Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You'd sell it down
yeah.
the market.
Yeah, four things to make a man happy. And then... I don't know if it's how it would play today, but that I think the most brilliant bit was the one, you know, where a woman dresses, you know, with a short skirt yeah. and a, you know, a halter top, and he says, you know, don't, I'm not a whore just because I dress like this. He said, well, that's confusing, right? He said, if I wore a cop uniform, people
yeah.
would come up to me, right? I mean, that's
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just brilliant.
You're not one, but you're wearing the uniform. Yeah.
Right. And then I didn't see it coming, even though I'd seen this a long time ago. I didn't see it coming. The thong contest and the woman, you know, he I don't know if you thought about this, but he starts out talking about him spreading his cheeks.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. For the police.
Yeah.
Right. And then he ends with a woman spreading her cheeks. Right. And I'm like, what's going on? And he could see into her birth canal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's the baby.
There's the baby. And there it all ties up in a neat little social bow.
An amazing closer. That is an amazing closer.
Yeah.
Maybe the best ever. I don't know. It's a hard one. Yeah. So, well, I think you know where I stand on this one. I think this is one of the all-time greats. I think this really is what catapulted him into stardom. I think he was probably on his way anyway. This was for its time, and even now I think it holds up. I think it's, you know, it's great. So it is special. Isn't that special? Yes.
Is that our new categorization system now?
Yeah.
Because we've cycled through, thumbs and
toes. So
it's going to be, it is special or it isn't special.
There we go. Right?
There it is.
I think it is special, this special.
And as this thing, we pull Christian ever more into the thing. We've now got a casting vote, right?
Like the Speaker of the House or the Vice President.
Deciding vote.
Decide the vote. Okay, so you've been leaving me in suspense.
Everyone's
in suspense to know whether you like Dave Chappelle.
I'm just going to leave a really long pause here. It is special. It is special. So no casting vote is needed, but we can look at unanimous or not.
But a little more, though. It's special. You obviously recognize the brilliance and what a great comedian he is. We try to keep it about the craft. But you laughed. You enjoyed it. You think he's funny. You would go see him.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I like the whole push me over the edge, winch me back, push me, winch me. And there was some flaws in it.
Yeah. He's a young comedian, right?
No, I mean, they weren't flaws for him. Like, I hate the whole, you know, black, white, blah, blah, blah. I think it's beat to death. But like 25 years ago, it was not, probably.
Yeah.
So it's not a flaw for him.
No, you can't judge.
For me, it's my problem.
If he were to do the same material now, which we'll see next week, if he's still doing the same type of material, then maybe it's, you know, a different lens.
It'll be interesting 25 years down the line.
Yep. Well, there you have it. Christian, we will take your vote. I think we know what it is anyway, but even though it's not a deciding vote. Yeah. Is it special or not?
Yeah, I was very curious to see what I was going to think about this one. It's been a long time since the first time I've seen this special. It's a lot has changed in the world around me and in the world that I live, and especially working at a comedy club for the last 5 years and being around it so much. You know, was this going to hold water or not? And I went into it thinking the same thing Mark did of kind of like, oh, is it going to be this like obvious, you know, thing for about an hour now? And it surprised me that some of the timelessness, like you had said, Bill, really just showed through. And I thought it was very special.
Very special. You gave it a very special. We're going to have different
gradients of special.
Gradients of special. Extra special. Very special. Somewhat special. All right. Well, we'll look forward to next week and seeing the new one. I have not seen the new one, so I'm...
Neither have I. I think, and if I have, it wasn't memorable.
Yeah. That's going to be good. You'll have to see that on your Netflix. Can you get into Netflix?
I've got Netflix.
Okay.
All right. Just don't have HBO money. Okay.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Did you play the outro yet? See what it's
What
like.
Is it? Is it the same song? Well, it's playing right now.
The outro of the same song.
Here comes the outro.
Play it into the mic, and then I'll be editing. Right
okay,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's
It'll
too
It'll save
late.
You a... Here we go.
That's fine. Ding.
That's not... either. Here we go.
This is the outro.
Oh, that's the intro.
The outro is different.
Should we just do the whole thing over again?
Sorry, rewind it. So that's the only one that's out, is the...